Thank you, Pastor Brent. Good morning. Good morning. We are in a section of Scripture where we're talking about our relationship with God. That's basically what we're looking at. Go ahead and open up your Bibles to 1 Thessalonians chapter 5. And as you find your place there, go ahead and pull out your outline. Just want to talk to you a bit as you work that way. If you were the Apostle Paul and you were teaching the church the gospel and began the church and God had called you to evangelize these communities that he was at and those kind of things. And when you left and you wanted to write something back to them about their relationship with God, what six things would you pick out about your relationship with God? What would be very important for you to understand, for you to know, for you to think about, for you to make vital? What would you say? What six things would you say? You know, with what was shared today, you know, who is your king? Relationship with God, this is a relationship of you honoring him. He's the king, the authority, the leader of your life. That would be one. What is something else come to mind? What else would come to your mind if you had six things you want to tell the church that's important for you to know and understand and apply to your life about your relationship with God? Hey. It's a personal relationship, right? It's a relationship with God. It's a personal one. It's not like with a boss or with a dictator or with it's a relationship with God, right? Christ in you, the hope of glory, the Holy Spirit comes, dwells in your life, right? God is your Father, right? He talks to you about how personal this is. That's good. What else would you want to tell him about? Yeah. Okay, all right, so he gave some instructions, he gave some guidance, some revelation in his word to help you, to lead you, to guide you, to encourage you, to give you wisdom, to instruct you, however you want to say it. You know, the relationship is God has given us his word, is what you would say, to help us navigate through this life in our relationship with him, right? Are you getting a point? This is what the Apostle Paul's doing here. Six commands, rapid fire. Just telling the church, these are so important for you in your life and your relationship with God. They're important with my relationship with God and with yours. Let me get my notes out here. Kind of did that as we begin. That's the study that we're in. Very simple. It states it very simply. Very important kind of relationship we have with the Lord. Six basic instructions or commands about our relationship with God. Six basic responsibilities. You would want to tell them that too. You have a responsibility to be in relationship with them. Husband and wives, you guys got a responsibility to do some things in relationship with each other, right? One would be listen, men, and obey. There you go. There's the two ones you guys had to do, right? But no, this is what Paul is talking about. This is the practicality of it. Six responsibilities that are foundational to the healthy relationship with God. So we are to be seeking a relationship with our God that involves these commands. Look at your outline with me. From your outline, we've covered three of them so far. We are to live in constant joy in our relationship with God. We are to live in constant prayer or constant communication. We're to live in constant thankfulness or gratitude regarding our relationship with the Lord. This is what God wants for us, what God desires for us in our relationship with him. These three are more about our attitude toward God. We want to walk in the joy of the Lord. We want to have the joy of the Lord. God, Lord, this is my heart. I want to have the joy in my relationship with you. It's not predicated on circumstances. We looked at all of that. It's predicated on who you are. Right, and my relationship with you, I want to live in an attitude that I'm constantly communicating, constantly talking about, laying the things before you, listening to you, and this relationship of constant gratitude or thankfulness for who you are and for the grace bestowed upon my life. All those kind of things. We were looking at all that. We looked at that each one. For this is the will of God for you in Christ Jesus. We looked at each one of those, and those are really hard attitudes. Now, what the Apostle Paul moves to is the next is really kind of about actions with God in our relationship with him. That's really what he's covering. The three he covers next are we're not to quench the Holy Spirit, we're to honor God's word, we're to be discerning about everything in life. They're foundational to our relationship with God. That's what God would tell us, okay? All right, don't quench the work of the Holy Spirit in your life. I want you to honor my word, and I want you to be discerning. Have some discernment. Have some judgment, discernment about things in life. Think is what he's talking about in your relationship with me. About is this helping your relationship with God? Is this honoring your relationship with God? What is this about in your discernment or what you're doing? It's very practical, you guys. This is not like something really pie in the sky. This is really practical that he wrote to an early church, very foundational. Today's responsibility we're going to look at is do not quench the Holy Spirit. It's a simple command of great importance. So you have your Bibles there with me, 1 Thessalonians chapter 5. Let's read them again in verse 16 through 22, where we find these six commands, these six instructions, these six things that we were to be seeking because we're to be involved in because we're seeking a relationship with God. Paul writes, "Rejoice always," verse 16, "pray without ceasing, and everything give thanks, for this is God's will for you in Christ Jesus. Do not quench the Spirit. Do not despise prophetic utterances. Examine everything carefully and hold fast to which is good. Abstain from every form of evil." Our text for this morning is verse 19, where he says, "Do not quench the Spirit." And I'm going to encourage you to dig into this with me. As I talk about God's word, God's truth, what God has to say about quenching the Holy Spirit, I want you to interact with God's word today. Have something to write with. Have something to write with. Write something down as I would ask questions on the outline there. That's really how you engage when you're in relationship with God. God speaks in his word, and he's talking to us about our lives, and you engage back about when, you know, God's saying this, doing this, saying that, working our lives. That's what a relationship is. You engage in it, and because God writes his word to you, let me encourage you to write some things down. You with me? In our relationship with God, we have a responsibility not to quench the Holy Spirit. It's not connected to the next verse. I'll cover that next week. It's in it one issue. It's one issue in the text. The command is about not quenching the work of the Holy Spirit in our lives. That's what it's about. Here in verse 19, it stands alone as a general command. Do not quench the Spirit in your relationship with God. Quench means to extinguish, to smother, to stifle, to hinder, or suppress. To extinguish, to smother, to stifle, or hinder, or suppress. The Holy Spirit can be quenched. Obviously, he wouldn't wrote it. You can quench the Holy Spirit. I can quench the Holy Spirit's work in our life. You can quench it. You can stifle it. You can hinder it. You can suppress it. You can extinguish it. You can smother it. Just like, you know, take a fire extinguisher. I'm going to spray it on. I'm going to smother the work of the Holy Spirit in my life. That's what he's talking about. Don't do that in your relationship with God. Pretty simple, right? Pretty simple. Amen? Yeah? That's not really difficult, is it? Right? The Holy Spirit can be grieved also. So Ephesians 4:30. What's the difference? Spirit, quenched or grieved? What's the difference? Very simple. Quenching is what you do to the Spirit. Grieving is how he responds to what you do. So we don't want to do either, right? They're connected. So when you quench the Holy Spirit, you grieve the Holy Spirit. So you grieve God. That's what it is. It's a relationship. You grieve God. Now, to appreciate the short commands, true application, to see it in its proper perspective, and Ray said some things about it, and so did Brain dead, Brent, yeah. Well, I was going elder, pastor, it was going all that, you know, it's Brent, right? And Elder Ray, they said some things about it. But to appreciate this, we need to remember the Holy Spirit's role in a believer's life. What's his role? You heard a few things, but just in your mind. What's the role of the Holy Spirit in your life? Just maybe you'd write that down. What you understand God's word, the role of the Holy Spirit in your life is. Right? Number one role, regeneration. That's the number one role. He regenerated you. That's who did that, the Holy Spirit. Jesus didn't do that. God the Father didn't do that. The Holy Spirit regenerated you. Born again, made new, gave you new life in Christ. You're regenerated by the Holy Spirit. Titus 3, verse 4 through 6 says, "When the kindness of God our Savior and his love for mankind appeared, he saved us not on the basis of deeds which we have done in righteousness, but according to his mercy, by the washing of the regeneration and the renewing by the Holy Spirit, whom he poured upon us richly through Jesus Christ." It's the Holy Spirit that gave you new life. You're born again, regenerated, made new. Like 2 Corinthians 5:17, "Therefore, if anyone is in Christ, he's a new creature. The old things have passed away. Behold, the new things have come. That's the work of the Holy Spirit. That's what he did in your life. He gave you new life. He regenerated you. You were dead in your sins, dead in your trespasses and sins, no life. And you were born again, regenerated, made new. That's the Holy Spirit's work in your life. That's what he did. And bringing that new life, thereby affecting a complete transformation of spiritual affections. The only reason why you love God, the only reason why you love the Word of God, the only way that Christ is your King, the only reason why that you have a heart, have a mind, have a soul, have a life that wants to honor Christ is because the Holy Spirit regenerated you. Because the unbeliever doesn't want to do that, period. That's the only reason. The Holy Spirit did that. That's the role of the Holy Spirit, to bring that new life. So then the Holy Spirit, in bringing that new life, frees you from slavery to habitual sin. That's what he did. Romans 6:6-7. Let me read it. Knowing this, that the old self was crucified with him in order that the body of sin might be done away with, so that we would no longer be slaves of sin, for he who has died is freed from sin. The Holy Spirit did that. That's what the Holy Spirit worked in his life. So I freed you from slavery to sin. You were enslaved to it. It's the only way you could live. That's what you live for. In the new life or regeneration, you are no longer enslaved to sin. So now thinking of this, the work of the Holy Spirit did that. He also leads us from sinning. Do you know that's the Holy Spirit's role? The Holy Spirit leads you away from living a life that doesn't honor God. He leads you away from letting sin, corruption be in your life. He leads you away from sin and its consequences coming into your life. He's trying to guide you and lead you away from missing the mark on God, how he wants you to live. And the Bible's clear. Sin corrupts. You reap what you sow. And the Holy Spirit's trying to lead you away from the things that God doesn't want you to do to the way that God wants you to do them. Galatians 5:16, walk by the Spirit, you not carry out the desires of the flesh. Our flesh leads us to sin. No other place, period. Self-gratification, that's where it leads. Walking by the Spirit leads us away from sinning. Romans 8:5 says, when we set our mind on the things of the Spirit, so if he's leading us to live for the Lord in the right ways, he says, which is life and peace. That's the work of the Holy Spirit. He took up permanent residence in your life. The Holy Spirit did in every believer's life. Romans 8:9 says that. The Spirit of God dwells in you. Romans 5:5 says he pours the love of God into our hearts. We have the correct love, not selfish love. We have the correct love, the love of God. Romans 8:16 says he testifies with our spirit that we are the children of God. This is the work of the Holy Spirit, testifying that you are now a child of God, that you are now in the kingdom of God. You are now, this is who you belong to. This is who your father is. This is what he's testifying. 1 Corinthians 12 tells us that only by the Holy Spirit can we call, see, or understand that Jesus is Lord. And the Holy Spirit gifts you for spiritual service. He immerses you into the body of Christ, the church, to use those gifts. That's the work of the Holy Spirit. Ephesians 1:13-14 says he seals us for eternity. 1 Peter 1:2 says he sets us apart to God. 2 Corinthians 3:18 says the Holy Spirit is at work in our sanctification, at work in us becoming more and more Christ-like in all action, attitude, and thought. Jesus in the Gospels read today said he would send the Holy Spirit to be in you as your helper to assist you in ministry and progressively sanctify you. The Holy Spirit is maturing you to become more like Christ. That happened at the moment your salvation, regeneration, made born again, made new. Here's the order of that. Regenerated, being sanctified, one day to be glorified. The Holy Spirit, that's his work in your life. That's what Paul's talking about. That's what he's talking about. He's telling the basic to the church, don't quench the work of the Holy Spirit to make you more like Christ. Don't quench it. Don't stifle it. Don't muffle it. See that it's going on in every circumstance and everything in life. That's what God's word commands us not to quench. It's a major responsibility of you and your relationship with God to embrace, not to quench the Holy Spirit, to embrace the work of the Holy Spirit to become more like Christ. Romans 8:29 says it very simply, all that God has called to himself, he has predestined. That was before you were here, the earth was here, anything was here. God in his heart and mind predestined everyone that he would call would be conformed to the image of his son, Jesus Christ. You think he's going to do it? He wrote it in his word that I did it before I even created you. You think he's going to do it? You think it's a major thing in your relationship with God? Right? Think about being a parent, having a little one, right? You with little ones. You are going to behave. You're going to behave. I'm going to work on it. I'm going to train you. I'm going to encourage you. I'm going to discipline you. I'm going to do that. You're going to behave. You're going to give everything to it. Well, you're just a human being, and how that goes is how that goes. But he's God, right? He's the one that created you out of nothing, right? That's why he created everything out of nothing. He spoke and it existed. If he said that's what he's doing, he's going to do it, isn't he? Come on, what do you guys think? Right? This is practical, right? So if you're going to quench the Holy Spirit's work, that he's doing that in your life, you're telling God, nah, you can't do what you claimed you're going to do. No, this isn't about what you're going to do. This is about what I wanted to be done. This is about your relationship with God. This is what it's about. This is major. Look at what Paul said, 1 Thessalonians 5. You're there, right? Look at the last two, the next two verses, what he wrote about. Right after he said this, "Now may the God of peace himself sanctify you entirely, and may your spirit and soul and body be preserved completely without blame at the coming of the Lord Jesus Christ, faithful as he who calls you. He will also bring it to pass." Aren't you glad he wrote it, that he's going to get it done? Did he say you are going to get it done? Did he said you were, did he say that? Did he say you're going to get it done? You're going to, he said, "I'm going to get it done." Now you're in relationship with this God that is your God that saved you, regenerated you. The Holy Spirit's work in your life is to do this in your life. We don't want to quench that, right? That's pretty basic and simple, isn't it? This isn't complicated. So you have to write some things down. How do you quench this? Because that's the point. That's the point. And you are. Let me tell you, you are. I wrote me a big list on me. You are. You are quenching, you are grieving the Holy Spirit by the way you live your life. God's not throwing down lightning bolts. He's not giving you out punishment. He's saying, "Oh, you're my child. Walk with me. I want to work in your life." He's drawing you to himself. This is the reality of the God who we serve. Thank you, Brent, for what you brought up today. Yes, the world is going to say this is about us, and if you want the things you want, then they'll present a God. If you have a God and you just do the right things, you get the thing you want. That's not our God, is it? He already gave us what we all needed, and it's way more than any of us deserved, and it's waiting for us in heaven. He's just asking us to live for him and love for him now and embrace the work that he is in our life. In your relationship with God, the Holy Spirit, you have a responsibility, a relationship not to smother, stifle, or quench the Holy Spirit. Work within you, his sanctifying work. This is basic Christianity 101. As we kind of look through this, turn your outline over and dig into this, you're going to easily identify where you quench his work. And you know what? There's no condemnation in Christ. And you know what? The Word of God, revelation of God, he's trying to reveal to us our own heart and mind because he knows it more than you do. He's trying to help us in our life recognize the things in our life. How many people do we pray for that they would repent? How many people that they would see the truth? How many people do we pray for that God would open their heart and that they would recognize the things in their life? You know what? Pray that for yourself right now. Lord, as we go through this, Lord, reveal to me, open to me my heart, my mind about all this, work in my life, change my life, grow me. I want to embrace your work in my life for the sake of you. The sanctifying process comprises of a variety of Spirit-initiated work. Number one, your outline, the Holy Spirit illuminates the Word of God. It illuminates the Word of God. He's the author of Scripture, the writer of Scripture, the interpreter of Scripture, the teacher of the truth, the illuminator of the Word of God in your heart and mind. He brings back to remembrance God's truth. That's why we study God's Word here. That's why we have a self-confrontation class, to want to know what God says, why we preach expositionally. The Holy Spirit teaches, illuminates the truth to our heart. Turn your Bibles to 1 Corinthians 2. I'm going to kind of just go through this quickly. Okay, let me show you one place, 1 Corinthians 2, verse 9. Turn your Bibles there with me. Let me show you how he illuminates the Word of God. 1 Corinthians chapter 2, verse 9. Here the Bible says it's written. Paul's writing what the Bible says, just as it's written. It's in the Word of God. Things which eye has not seen or ear has not heard and which not have not entered the heart of man, all that God has prepared for those who love him. No one has seen, no one has heard, it's never entered their heart. That's what he says, right? How do we see or hear or it enter our heart? How does it get in there? How do you see it? How do you understand it? How do you enter the heart? Look at verse 10 through 12. Pretty simple in God's word what he says. For to us God revealed them through the Spirit. For the Spirit searches all things, even the depths of God. For who among men knows the thoughts of a man except the spirit of a man, which is in him? Even so, the thoughts of God no one knows except the Spirit of God. That's the Holy Spirit. Now we have received, you have received, I've received, every believer has received, not the spirit of the world, but the spirit of who is from God, so that we may know the things freely given to us by God. There you go. It's the Holy Spirit that teaches us, that illuminates God's words to us. That's how we receive the truth. He teaches us. Look at verse 13. Which things we also speak, not in words taught by human wisdom, but in those taught by the Spirit, combining spiritual thoughts or truths with spiritual words. That's what I'm doing today. That's exactly what I'm doing today. This is not human wisdom. This is not psychology. This is not make your life better stuff. This is stuff taught by the Spirit of God. about spiritual truths and spiritual words and spiritual thoughts about the truth of God for us to receive. That's what I'm doing today. Believers grow spiritually as they feed on the truth of God's word. You don't grow spiritually when you feed on what you think you want it to say or what you want it to say. You don't grow spiritually. You don't grow at all spiritually. You grow spiritually on the truth of God's word. 1 Peter 2:2 says, like newborn babes, long for the pure milk of the word so that by it you may grow in all respects to salvation. The Holy Spirit illuminates the truth of God's word to you. The Holy Spirit doesn't illuminate something similar to the word of God to you. He doesn't. He doesn't. He only illuminates the truth of God's word. That's why you have to have discernment. That's why you have to have people. We'll get to discerning. That's why you have to have people in your life that understand God's word and can help you when maybe you're not comprehending it. And the Holy Spirit, I can trust him totally to reveal to you the truth of God's word. Hebrews 4:12 says this, for the word of God is living and active and sharper than any two-edged sword, piercing, able to judge the thoughts and intentions of the heart. How is that? How is the word of God able to do that? Because that's what the Holy Spirit does with the word of God. That's what he does with the word of God. Do you ever get conviction in your life? You ever get, all of a sudden you just realize the real motive of going on and why you're doing what you're doing, and it just kind of hits you. This is the real motive. That's the Holy Spirit and judging the intentions of your heart, cutting it right down to it and saying, no, don't fool yourself. That's not the motive. The motive is this. This is why you're doing this. Now, you either deal with it or you don't. See, this is the relationship we have with God. This is the one he says that we want to have with him. Now, you can already know, just understand by what I've talked about today, wow, this is really real, isn't it? This kind of relationship, God is speaking in my heart, showing me kind of things. I'm changing my life. He's bringing transformation. Repentance and confession are having. All these kind of things. See, because that's the kind of relationship God has. It's not about some duty, something written on the wall. If you'll confess or if you'll repent, certain thing comes out. See, it's all relational. Thank you, Cindy, for saying that. That was you, right? Because it's all about when you said that you have a personal relationship, right? Oh, that was up here. Okay. It came from over here somewhere. This is not hard, is it? This is the reality God wants for us. And I can't go through everything today that is in here. But this is so important in our life. You got to own up in your life. Is this the kind of relationship you have with God? Are you listening to the Holy Spirit from God's word? God, the Holy Spirit taking God's word, speaking to your heart. Are you listening to his response to your communication? This is what it comes down to. Because this is how he's speaking to you in your life. The Holy Spirit will not speak outside this truth. He'll stay inside this truth that's already been revealed. That's God's promise. That way you know it's him, and people can help you with it. This is so important to our life. I think this is tremendously important to our life. I know in my life it is. See, it becomes about him guiding our life. It becomes about him leading our life. It becomes about him showing us, by the work of the Holy Spirit, the things going on in our life. It's not about, oh, you're bad or you're good. It's about, this is the way of life for you. How do us as a church family, how do we grieve or stifle that work? Could you write something down? Here's some of that I wrote down. I failed to study the Word of God. I don't need to study the Word of God. I don't need to know what God wants to say to me. Misinterpret God's word. I want it to say what I want it to say, so I'm going to find where somebody says what it wanted to say. We can make church about other stuff. We can make church about this and that, not central on learning God's truth. This church is going to make it central on learning God's truth because this is the relationship that God wants to have with us, with him, that he's going to speak to us by the work of the Holy Spirit to grow our lives. You don't receive God's word in humility. There would be one. I'm not humble when God is talking to me about things. I don't seek for the word of God to richly dwell within me, Colossians 3:16. I fail to apply it in my life. Secondly, the Holy Spirit brings you into intimacy with God. That's number two on your little outline there. It's a spirit-initiated work to bring you into intimacy with God. I don't know how many of us know that, but he initiates this. He's at work, so we have an intimate relationship with God our Father. That's what he's doing. That's what God desires for us in our life. We quench that. Galatians 5, 4, chapter 4, verse 5 and 6 says, God redeemed us so that we would receive the adoptions as sons and daughters. So then, because you are sons and daughters, God has sent forth his Spirit into your hearts, crying, Abba, Father. I want you to think about that for a moment. In your being born again, made new, regenerated in your new life, we're to receive adoption. We are adopted into the family of God as God is our Father, and the Holy Spirit comes in our life to encourage you to cry out to God as your Father. As your Father. And then in this life, a Father that loves you, that cares for you, that's going to teach you the truth, give you wisdom, a perfect Father. Just like all of us as dads and as fathers or even grandfathers, we want to do the very best for our kids and our grandkids and giving them wisdom and instruction and those kind of things. But we're frail, we're fallen, we have our own selfish gratification that gets in the way. You have a Father in heaven that has none of that in the way. Well, you don't think he'll tell you what's the right thing to do, the right way to go, the things you need to hear? I know sometimes it's hard to teach your own children as fathers the truths of some things, and this Heavenly Father you have isn't afraid to, isn't worried to, isn't concerned whether you'll like him anymore. The Spirit is working or at work to draw you into an intimate relationship with God, your Father. The Holy Spirit wants believers to have a joyful confidence that God loves you as his child. As you grow in sanctification, which is the Spirit's work in your life, Scripture tells us you have an increasingly deeper and deeper and more intimate a knowing of God. Colossians 1, 9 through 11 says that. Philippians 3, 10. The Holy Spirit prompts believers to pray, to seek for divine help and resources, knowing that God cares for you. Philippians 4, 6. 1 Peter 5, 7. Turn your Bibles with me to Romans 8, verse 14 and 6 through 16. I want you to get this part here. That in this, God, the Holy Spirit work in your life is drawing you into an intimate relationship with God. Romans 8, look at verses 14 through 16 with me. Here the Apostle Paul writes, For all who are being led by the Spirit of God, these are the sons of God. The text says it pretty simply. The Holy Spirit is leading all that are God's. Now you may be battling it, you may be struggling with it, but he's leading all. Where's he leading you to? What's he leading you to? Prosperity? Happiness? Contentment? What's he leading you to? What would you say he's leading you to? Write something down. The Holy Spirit is leading. How's the using God's word, working in my life, what's he leading me to? This is important for you to think through, because this is my relationship with God. The Holy Spirit that's doing a work, you know, have you listened to some people that have taught the Holy Spirit's leading you to, I'm just going to stay out of there? He's leading you to have an intimate relationship with God the Father. You're his son. You're his daughter. Kids, look at me. The younger ones in here. Your parents are trying to lead you into an honorable, respectful relationship with mom and dad. So you understand and you grow and look what life's about. And they're trying to get you from childishness to where you're asking mom and dad for instructions and wisdom and what's the world about and teach me the truths. You know, you trust them, right? Because they're your parents. They love you. They care for you. They lay their life down for you, right? They do all these kind of things, and they're trying to get you to a place where you're trusting in their wisdom and encouraging them. And then you turn teenager and you tell them, your parents, you guys don't know nothing, man. Right, that's what happened. I don't want that to happen for you guys, okay? But that happens a lot with teenagers. They get to teenagers, and then all of a sudden the parents don't know nothing, and I don't need my parents, and I don't need to be dependent upon him or her. The Holy Spirit's leading you to show you that you have God a Father that's a perfect parent, that you're dependent upon your whole existence. You never grow out of it. You're always a child of God needing God the Father. Look at verse 15. For all who are being led by the Spirit of God are the sons of God, for you have not received the spirit of slavery leading to fear again. You have received the spirit of adoption as sons by which we cry out, Abba, Father. Before salvation, it was the spirit of slavery, and everything was fear. It's not about fear. It's about you have God, your Father, that you can cry out to about everything. Verse 16, the Spirit himself testifies with our spirit that we are children of God. We're children of God. How would you quench that work in your life? First, what I would think about is you don't think you need a father, God the Father in your life to guide you and lead you through this life. You got it. You're smart enough. You're intelligent enough. You're gifted enough. That you don't need him every day. My dad's not here. He hadn't been here for a long time. I wish my dad was here, even in all his Arkansas orneriness. I need God the Father every day. I need his wisdom, his encouragement, his strength, his guidance. I need his comfort, his care. I need him to be involved in everything in my life, much more than I ever needed a temporal father or earthly father, as much as I needed them. That comes from embracing the relationship you have with God, not quenching the Holy Spirit in your life. You know, sometimes we think we got it till we don't. Or you just go with your own understanding of things. Proverbs 3, 5, and 6 warns us about that. Next, he's moving you toward Christ-likeness. I'm just going to say just one thing about this, which is the outcome of eternal glory. Do you know the completeness of your salvation is you being completely Christ-like? That would just sort of should hit us, that the Holy Spirit is conforming you to the image of Christ, working in your Christ-likeness. He's not putting you down when you're not completely Christ-like. He's not dogging you when you're completely Christ-like. It's as a loving father, he's trying to train you, encourage you, counsel you, give you wisdom, show you the path to be the son or daughter that he has called you to be, that you will be one day finally completely like what he called you to be, because he'll get you there. He'll do it. The Holy Spirit's at work at that. So you quench that by saying, I'm good enough the way I am. I don't need change. God likes me. All of the things that your humanity kind of brings up. But God is just saying, wow, you're my child. And I want to work in your life to make you just like my son, Jesus Christ. Obviously for God's glory, but for our good. And one day you'll be that way. How do we quench that? A lot of verses I could give you. You might want to look those up, but I'm going to move on to end this morning. It would be beneficial for us to write some things down today. It would be beneficial each Sunday as we listen to the Word of God and we take some notes and those kind of things. We apply the things that God is speaking to us in our life because that's how the Holy Spirit works in our lives. You can ask anybody that's been walking with the Lord a long time, and they'll be honest about it. You want to ask Pastor MacArthur, he'll tell you he's still growing in the Lord. He's still got a long way to go. It's not about arriving, it's about walking. And God saved us, reconciled us to himself to have a relationship with him so we would walk with him, and he wants to walk with us. He wants that. That's what he wants. You know, that's what he desires. The last two quickly, he guides you into God's will. If you look at 1 Thessalonians 4, 1 through 3, the Holy Spirit's at work guiding you into God's will. So many people struggle with the will of God. I don't know what the will of God is. I remember counseling with a young couple, and they were, you know, will of God for us to get married. And you ask them about their intimacy, and they weren't honoring God with their intimacy. And I said, well, you don't honor God's will now in the intimacy. How do you know it's God's will? You'd marry. Because God's will is what you want. God's will is God's will. What you want is to learn how to want God's will. Right? We all have a will. I got a will. Jesus had a will. He said, Father, not my will, but yours be done. I mean, this is about God's will. It's about finding God's will. It's about guiding us to God's will. 1 Thessalonians 4 says, finally then, brethren, we request you and exhort you in the Lord Jesus that as you have received us from us instruction on how you ought to walk and please God just as you actually do walk, that you excel still more, for you know what the commandment we gave you by the authority of the Lord Jesus, for this is the will of God, your sanctification. That's pretty simple. Receive God's word on how you ought to walk and please God, excel still more. Act upon the commandment given to you by the authority of Christ. Here's one, by the authority of Christ. Do not quench the Holy Spirit. There's one. I mean, that's under the authority of Christ. Don't quench my Holy Spirit that's trying to conform you to, for your life to be like mine, to honor God, to glorify God, to be a light of Christ, to be all that it is. The Holy Spirit is guiding you into the will of God. And the last one here as we close. The Holy Spirit initiates this work. He strengthens you inwardly. The only reason I can do this is because the Holy Spirit strengthens me. The only reason you can do this, the only reason you can honor the Lord, the only reason you can trust God, the only reason is because the Holy Spirit working your life to doing this in your life. Nobody apart from God does this. That's so important. I'm not autonomous. I'm not individualistic. Thank you, Lord, for changing my heart, growing my faith to where I have more strength because of the faith that you've grown in me. But it is the Holy Spirit that is strengthening us to persevere. The perseverance of the saints is true. They will make it into the kingdom of God in their salvation, and they will persevere because the Holy Spirit will make sure you persevere. That's God's word. You only persevere because the Holy Spirit makes you persevere. That's the word of God, the truth of God's word. Boy, I want to be dependent on the God, the Father, in a relationship like that I'm going to get there because of who he is and what he's doing in my life is what I'm going to get there. As you submit yourselves to the will of God, as feeble effort sometimes we do, as we submit ourselves to the work of the Holy Spirit and his leading, and as we seek to try to apply God's truth to our lives and how we live, as we walk in the wisdom that God gives us through his word by the Spirit, as we would call out, cry out to God, talk to God, as it says in Ephesians 3:16, and ask him to strengthen us by his Holy Spirit in the inner man, as we just seek to honor God in this life and live by that, he strengthens you. He didn't strengthen you because all of these things I said you try to do. He strengthens you because you're his. Isn't that incredible? Just because you're his alone, you're a son or daughter of God. And when you're weak, he has a purpose in your weakness so you will look to him. It's always been that way. The weakness is so you'll come to him. Just like your children. Dad, boo-boo. It's just so the Holy Spirit draws you to that relationship. This is our God. This is the relationship he desires to have with us. Two more, honor his word, be discerning. I'm overwhelmed most of the time with the relationship that I get to have with the Almighty God, the creator of all things, the Lord of the universe. And that Lord gave his life so I can know this life. Let's pray. Heavenly Father, we are thankful. As we learned last week, we want to come and worship in a heart of gratitude and thankfulness. Not for the circumstances, even though circumstances make us very grateful and thankful, but thankful for who you are and that we are learning who you are, that by the Spirit you are unveiling to us in our heart and mind the truth of who you truly are and the truth of who we truly are. And as we recognize that, we just fall on our knees and give thanks for you reaching toward us. You did it. You reached out toward us by the work of the Holy Spirit to bring new life. The love of God. We thank you for today's worship and for who you are in Christ's name. Amen.